guy Easy Ollie. It's another episode. It's another day. Third down.
It's your boy D Dubs. Let's get into it. Third down. Let's break it down, Ollie.
Before we break it down, I just want to let everyone know that D Dub jinxed us. We were doing so well with our picks, and he had to boast about it last episode. So therefore, yeah. I think we were 0-5. Were we 0-5 for all our picks this week?
Nah. I wasn't 0-5. I had one. I had one pick this week. I had the Packers game. I did have the Packers coming out on top.
Oh yeah, yeah. We had the Packers. You're right about that. We had the Packers. I thought it was gonna be a whole lot closer than that. But speaking about the games of the week, let's start from the game last night. The Browns and the Niners in San Francisco at Levi's Stadium, and oh my goodness.
Let's just say the Browns were the Browns, and they played like the Browns. Not the Browns that we want to play, that we want to see. The Browns that, you know, from way, way, way before Baker Mayfield, they played like boo-boo. They did not look good at all. Odell?
I think the defense does have some blame for the Browns.
For sure.
They got a lot of good guys, but you're right. You know, as you were about to say, Odell has to show up.
The only thing I seen Odell show up in was a uniform. Other than that, it was abysmal. I do like him as a receiver. He is one of my favorite receivers, but the opportunities that he had were limited, very, very limited. I think with Cleveland, they're crowded. They're crowded. They got a lot of people that could touch the football, and Baker Mayfield is barely using all of his pieces. If there was another quarterback, if it was Aaron Rodgers or any other quarterback, would be able to make better decisions to throw the football. But he's not utilizing all of his power, his tools.
Yeah. You're definitely right about that. I think mm-hmm. there's so many, you know, options that he has, but he doesn't use them.
You're right. It's a lack of focus. You do have a solid running back. The run game didn't go nowhere. The passing game was all over the place. I mean, granted, you know, Odell only had, what, I think 2 receptions for 27 yards? Come on. What are we talking about here? Are you talking about a man that was averaging almost about 100 yards a game last season, top receiver, and through the first 5 games, he hasn't even broken 500 receiving yards? Barely? Come on, there's a problem.
I mean, well, I think with Odell, it has a lot to do with the same scenario that he was in when he was with the Giants. He's mm-hmm, the only mm-hmm. guy. And I've said that over and over the last couple of weeks. You can't win if Odell is your savior. If you're relying on him to save you every single game, it's not a good formula. You're right. They have weapons all over the field. They got Nick Chubb in the backfield, who I think is a phenomenal player. Mm-hmm. Jarvis Landry, I've been wanting to see more from him. I think he had a big game last week against the Ravens, and that was in part to Marlon Humphrey locking down Odell Beckham for most of the evening. He had 2 receptions last week also. So I think that you can't win if your only formula is get the ball to Odell and he'll make a play. It doesn't work that way. On defense, they have a lot of guys on defense. They got Olivier Vernon. They got Sheldon Richardson. You know, they got guys at linebacker, Whitehead, and they got guys all over the field on defense. But they're not making plays.
You're right.
Too many penalties. I think, you know, at the beginning of last night in the second half, there were a few plays where they got penetration and got to the backfield against the Niners. But other than that, they look slump. They look unprepared. Steve Wilks, the defensive coordinator, he looks overwhelmed. We saw last season when he was the head coach of Arizona how overwhelmed he was with those duties. He does not look good as their defensive coordinator. Freddie Kitchens, everyone was raving about Freddie Kitchens in the offseason. He's not looking good as a head coach right now. But enough with the Browns. More so, what an amazing job the 49ers did at home. Their defense looks phenomenal.
Richard Sherman.
I told you. Pete Richard Sherman, there was nobody like him. And he has brought that attitude and that fierce competitiveness to the 49ers. Yes, he is the typical veteran leader that you're looking for in your locker room. And if you look along their defensive line, Solomon, Armstead, Bosa, Buckner, all first-round guys. All guys taken high in the first round of different drafts, and they are producing now. They have built a core group of talent on that defensive side that will take them far. And in that NFC West, there's one thing you know. Each and every year, the Seahawks are going to bring it. The Rams right now are on a streak the last few years that they're going to bring it. So you need to have a solid defense to compete with those two teams. So I think that they're doing a phenomenal job, in San Francisco. On offense, Jimmy G looks good. They're smart. Don't force him to win you the game. Run the football. Take time off the clock. Help him become an elite manager. People take the word manager as a bad thing for a quarterback. If you're an elite manager as a quarterback, that means you're doing your job. And that's what you get paid to do your job. And he's finding receivers. He doesn't have many name brand guys on there. He has, Marquise Goodwin, Dante Pettis, but he doesn't have great guys as his receivers. But he's doing a good job with what he has. And the 49ers at 4-0, they look legit.
Oh, for sure. Like, I remember when we were speaking about Richard Sherman when he was in Seattle. And I do recall saying that for Richard Sherman to be able to produce the way that he was producing over there, he needed the right pieces around him, and he got them with Nick Bosa, Armstead, even Kwon Alexander had a good game last night. So it was perfect. Their defense was looking great. Emmanuel Mosley looked great. The defense looked solidified. And if they continue to perform the way that they do, that they are, they're going to be unstoppable. They're looking real tight. Joey Bosa ain't got nothing on Nick Bosa. Nick Bosa is not a at all. Beast.
Not he at is all. A beast. Not at all.
And I don't know if you noticed, he did taunt the quarterback from Cleveland, Baker Mayfield, with his flag waving from
And we'll talk about Baker Mayfield later on in the show, because I got a lot to say about Baker. But on to the next game. I thought, to me, this was the strongest showing all weekend.
Yes, it was.
The Packers against the Cowboys. Packers, number one. Aaron Rodgers did not have a great passing game. And he did not have a great – it's not because he wasn't finding receivers or anything like that. He didn't have a great passing game because he didn't need to have a great passing game. Mm-hmm. They ran the ball
a lot.
They got stops on defense. They got turnovers on defense. All the formulas you need to win a Super Bowl. And when you have an elite game manager like Aaron Rodgers, there's nothing that can get in your way except for yourself. I think that they went into Dallas. They know that they've played well in Dallas the last few years. He went into Dallas with a 4-2 record. So he went in there and he knows it. He owns them. And he went in there and he played like a man that knows that. The whole team did. And, for all the talk in the offseason, new coach, is the offense going to be tailored to Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to be comfortable? How are they going to act as an offense? Where are his receivers? He's finding Jimmy Graham. He's finding Geronimo Allison. He's finding MVS. He's finding all these guys in different areas of the field, and they are winning football games. I know they had that stinker in Philly last 2 weeks ago. That's over with. That's over with. That was a penalty loss. They were a penalty away from being 5-0 right now. So the Packers are trending upwards. I really like their chances in the long run. Don't bet against Aaron Rodgers. You'd be dumb to do it. So I definitely think that they have something working for them. But the Cowboys, I know I've been talking about the Cowboys, and I thought, you know, I said that they were the best team in the NFC.
Falling real quick.
They're in trouble. Trouble is all over the building right now. Dak Prescott has to play better.
Mm-hmm. Dak Prescott wasn't making that many great decisions during this game. Threw a couple picks, and you could see it. Even Jerry Jones saw it. He was very frustrated. You could see it in his face. Wasn't pleased. The Cowboys could not stop the run. That was the biggest issue. They could not stop the run. Aaron Jones was having his way with the defense. How many TDs he had? Four?
Yeah, four touchdowns. He gave me 49 points, and I almost benched him in fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
I switched him last. You remember, because we was on the phone. I switched him last second. Mm-hmm. Last second. 49 points.
Yeah. Aaron Jones had his way. With that being said, Aaron Rodgers didn't have to throw it up all that much. The ground game was doing it for him. They were pounding it. They were successful. And they were up early. The only reason the Cowboys even got, you know, to 24 is because the Packers kind of started letting off the pedal a little bit. They didn't score any points in the first half.
At the end.
At the end.
You know, that's why you don't let a team linger. You know, that's because at any given point, you know, momentum can swing. And that is what happened. Had there been more time at the end of the game, then potentially the Packers might have been in trouble. But I mean, in all honesty, you know, the game was over with. But you know, I really think that, you know, the Cowboys need to get their act together quick. If you think about it, they're 3-2 now. The Eagles are 3-2 now. The Giants are 2-3. So only one game separates you. Only one game separates you from one of the weakest teams in your division.
I told you this division was going to be. I told you this division was going to be super tight all the way to the end.
Tight. Just like we top three teams.
I mean,
that's about it.
Yeah. Well, this division is going to be close because the dynamics of it. I did say that Dallas. Didn't play anybody special in the first three games. So, you know, when they got their first test, they really got tested, and you could see it. And now this was their second test, and they got exposed again. So we're looking to see how they're going to bounce back from this. Amari Cooper had a couple of nice plays that saved them, but it was too little too late. You can't come back that late in games. Like you said, if there was more time, the Packers would have been in trouble, and the Cowboys, could have snatched it, but it was too little too late. But let's get on to the next game. The Bucks versus the Saints. Now, I had the Bucks.
I'm happy that they lost the Bucks, but I'm also mad because I picked them to win. But I'm happy because I'm happy because I just wanted to show you how trash Jameis Winston is. Yeah. I just wanted to show you how trash he was. Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's funny. I was just talking about it that the last couple games, Jameis Winston has only been doing one thing right, and what is that? Getting the ball to Mike Evans. And what did he not do?
Zero catches
to Mike Evans,
the tallest man in the world on the field. And you gave him zero catches. This was supposed to be a statement game for the Bucks.
Yep, this was supposed to be their, hey, we are alive. We are not the team that's going to be sitting in the South that is not going to prove anything. They were making a statement the last couple games, and they just threw it all away. Like you said, Bruce Arians could have been back there and throwing the ball to Mike Evans. He did not do his job.
I could have suited up. Went out there and I would have found Mike Evans. I can't believe. I mean, I know I don't want to take anything away from the Saints secondary. They did play well. They played well two consecutive weeks. They locked down Amari Cooper last week, and they came and they locked down Mike Evans this week. I think it has more so to do with the front seven than it has to do with the secondary. But they have done their job the last two games. And that's all you ask of them. You ask them to maintain and contain.
Cam Jordan's been getting that pressure, and it's been nothing but helping the secondary. But we can't forget to talk about Teddy Bridgewater.
He's been playing phenomenal.
He's been playing phenomenal. 26 for 34, 314 yards, 4 TDs. Like, and I did say that he need to hook up with Michael Thomas. He got that.
I know that he lost the first game that he played in. But as the full-time starter, he's 3-0. He has 6 touchdowns and only 2 picks. He has found his number one guy, as you were about to say, Michael Thomas. 11 catches. He's playing well. He's showing everybody that he can control the game, he can maintain this team, and he can win games for them.
Yeah, you can see that. He's on a streak right now, and I think he's going to continue to play well. But let's see how they're going to bounce back when Drew Brees comes in. Now, supposedly, Drew Brees has been throwing the ball.
They're not going to skip a beat.
I don't think they're going to skip a beat, and I think they're going to continue. I just want to know when are they going to decide to pull the plug on Teddy? Because if he's playing well, do you immediately bring back Drew Brees?
Do you
let Drew Brees heal completely and right before, you know, the third quarter of the season, you put him in to get ready and get that rhythm back before the playoffs? That's the real question. Do you take him out?
You know why you take him out?
Mm-hmm.
You take him out because now you just signed him last offseason. This last offseason, there were a lot of teams that needed quarterbacks. And you smartly kept Teddy Bridgewater. Now you put him out there, you showcased his talent. You know what you have. When Drew Brees comes back, put Drew Brees back in the game. You keep Teddy Bridgewater on the bench. You know why? Because he's your future. If Drew Brees comes back and he gets hurt again, I know that I have Teddy Bridgewater back there. I don't want Drew Brees to take too much time off, because then Drew Brees is going to have to get back in rhythm. I don't want Drew Brees. He's already taking too much time off. So if he's able to throw right now and he's comfortable, remember, I know that it's a thumb. I don't know how he's feeling. I don't know what kind of pain he's in. But the rest of his body is okay.
Oh, yeah. But, you know,
I will take my chance. I will put Drew Brees in there and rest my young guy, because I know when it's all said and done and Drew Brees is gone, I know Teddy Bridgewater is right here. And I know that I'm going to keep building for the future. When I'm drafting, right now, the next few years, I'm not drafting for Drew Brees. I'm drafting for Teddy Bridgewater. So I'm not going to risk him getting hurt anymore. Once Drew Brees is available, then yes. Hey, Teddy, you already showed them enough. Come on back. You know, so can't nobody do what he's doing for them. Their offense is tailored for Bridgewater right now. So rest him when Brees comes back. And when it's all said and done, Bridgewater's back in the play.
You're right. And I didn't even think of it like that, because I was just thinking of the immediate right now, not really looking into the future. Because remember, Teddy Bridgewater did have the opportunity to sign with other teams, but he wanted to stay in New Orleans. When you build that relationship you want to stay behind a veteran quarterback to learn, that's something that you don't see very often. It wasn't like Jimmy G, like where they got rid of him and, you know, he went after the money. That's not what he was about. He was solid on staying with the culture in New Orleans because of what they had. And I see where you're going with it, and I like it. So let's go on to the next game, the Jaguars and the Panthers. Now, I was completely wrong about this game, 100% wrong. I was in the opposite direction. I had the Jaguars winning this. I even had Christian McCaffrey only with 1 score in this game. But guess what? You was right. You can't stop that man, even if you had a whole team with a whole bunch of empty cups that could hold a whole lot of water. You cannot stop that man. they used him effectively. 19 carries, 176 yards, and 2 TDs. Christian McCaffrey is a beast. And he also had to put on one of his TD scores where he went up and over to get in the end zone. That man launched himself like he was a rocket getting ready to go to space, and he found the moon, and he got into the end zone. He is magnanimous. Now, the way he's playing right now, he's looking like an MVP. I'm not going to lie. The way that he's playing is MVP worthy. Now, can he continue to play at this pace? Like you said, after week 2 and week 3, he's already on pace to smash how many carries he had compared to last year and the year before that. He's on pace to have almost 400 to 500 touches, which is kind of dangerous as your number one back. But if that's what they need to do to win games, hey, that's what they need to do. The Jaguars themselves, weren't looking too good, But Gardner Minshew continued to produce, but they couldn't hold the Panthers. Their secondary could not hold the Panthers. DJ Chark, eight receptions, 164 yards, 2 TDs. He had a great game. He had a phenomenal game. And the last couple of games, he's had a TD. So I want to continue to see the Jaguars grow, but they weren't far behind. It was a very close game. It wasn't like it was a blowout or anything, 34-27. I did have the Jaguars blowing the Panthers out, but unfortunately, it wasn't that.
I'm going to keep this short. Mm-hmm. Very short. Mm-hmm. The Panthers are going to run Christian McCaffrey into the ground. All that talent. And they are going to bury him in the ground. They need to get somebody around him. They need to get something around him. You cannot have your feature back doing everything like that every single game. He will not last. I know he hasn't been hurt. He hasn't missed any games. But, I mean, we'll see. Like you said, they're winning games. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. As far as the Jags go, Gardner Minshew, rookie, he's the future. He's legit. The Jaguars are still a good team. I think that, you know, they got a little overwhelmed at first in the beginning of the game. They were down mm-hmm. big early.
Yeah, down 14-0.
Yeah, it's all about composure. And this kid, Uncle Rico, he's a dog. He's mentally tough. He's not rattled at all. And you know, I really like that about him. You know, like they always say, you know, he's one of the smallest guys on the field, but it does not matter. He delivers the ball in the right places. He's developed great chemistry with DJ Chark the last few games. It began actually in the Tennessee game, Thursday night, I think it was. You know, he's starting to develop real, you know, good chemistry with that kid, and they're doing pretty well for themselves. I still like the Jags. I think they're a pretty good team. As far as the next game goes, the Bills and the Titans. I expected the Titans to win. I thought the Titans were, you know, they were 2-2. They're in a tough division. Excuse me. I thought that, you know, this was a chance for them to get out in front or at least keep things, you know, competitive in the AFC South. But the Bills are surprising everybody. You know, their defense has been strong. You know, even with the turnovers, the run game and the defense, man, formulas to win football games. And they're doing that. You know, they don't have many completions. They don't have many passing touchdowns. But they're winning football games. They're playing great defense. And, you know, I'd like to see, you know, how long they can keep that going. They got a pretty good record right now at 4-1. So I'd like to see how they do, you know, when they get better competition as the season, you know, goes further.
Yeah, I thought the Titans, you know, they're going to come off their win last week. They were on a roll. Marcus Mariota, I had hopes, but they're starting to go down. The Bills defense, they played very well. They did exactly what they did in New England. They shut down the passing game. Shut it down. The only person to score was Derrick Henry, and he had an okay game. 20 carries, 78 yards, 78 yards and a TD, but it wasn't enough. The Bills defense are making a statement, and even though their offense hasn't been producing like they want to, the Bills defense is saying, "Hey, we got the team, and we will carry the team if need be." The offense, even though they're playing mediocre, we still going to carry the team, and surprisingly, it's been showing. You saw it in the Patriots game. You saw it in this game. The defense stepped up big.
Yep, you're definitely right. And that's a wrap for third down. You already know. Go get a snack. Do what you do. We'll be right back. I hope y'all enjoyed y'all's snacks. Fourth and short, we're back. Let's go ahead and dive a little bit into these power rankings. The Packers, man, the Green Bay Packers, number one in our power rankings this week. The biggest reason why is, I mean, I know a lot of teams might be thinking, well, you know, the Chiefs were undefeated, the Niners, the Patriots. I said this earlier, the Packers were one play away from being undefeated still right now.
Mm-hmm.
They were one play. Yeah, they were a flag away from being undefeated. And they have everything right now to be a top contender. They have a top quarterback. They have a solid running game. They have a very good defense. On special teams, they're efficient. You know, you can count on Mason Crosby to get you field goals. they haven't, you know, surrendered any, you know, big yards to returners or anything like that. So, you know, they're good. But what I'm most impressed with, they were able to go into Dallas and they owned Dallas a little bit on Sunday. They had way more confidence than Dallas did going into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I think
their swagger was on a different level.
Yeah. And they were confident. They weren't rattled at all. They stuck to their game plan. I know Aaron Rodgers, you know, he's a gunslinger. He likes to get big yards. But in this game, he did not have to do that. He was solid. He played well. He did everything that he needed to do as an elite game manager. He is who he is, man. You know, he's a great player. And even though all those touchdowns that were scored weren't by him, he led the team. I think that right now this team is they're on a roll. They got good momentum. And I think that they're gonna just keep rolling as the season goes along.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. I had to look at the Packers as a whole, and from the beginning of the season, the teams that they played were top quality. I mean, like you said, they were just a penalty away from just winning that game, and that was against, you know, the Eagles. Granted, the game was a little slower than we anticipated. They still played great teams. Like, you know, to march into Dallas with all that swagger, it blew my. I didn't think that their defense was going to be able to step up, but their defense is solidified. Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, the Smith brothers. Oh, man.
Yeah,
to be honest,
I like to call them.
My nickname for them is called the Smiths because they go to work and they put in the work. You know what I'm saying? They both got 5 sacks. Preston Smith got 5.5, and Za'Darius Smith got 5. They are the leaders in sacks on the team. Now, their defense around them is also picking up. Blake Martinez is doing his job, a lot of tackles. You also got Kevin King. Kevin King is looking like a sharp corner. He's got two interceptions on the season, and I think it's only going to pick up for him there. You also got Tremont Williams. Can't forget my boy Tremont. He also got 2 picks, too.
Yep, veteran.
He's healthy. He's healthy. That's the greatest part. He's healthy. With the healthy Tremont Williams, you don't have to worry about his side of the ball. He's not complete shutdown, but he's going to give you 100% production every play that he's on the field, yeah, which is what you need in a veteran player.
And the best part to me on that defense are the two additions that they made in the offseason. Darnell Savage, the rookie out of Maryland, and Adrian Amos Jr., the safety from the Bears. Those guys have been playing lights out back there on the back end. They have, you know, really elevated the secondary. And because of the pressure they have, I definitely believe in that secondary. Now, the second team, they're actually number four on our list. The Niners, man, what a game they had on Monday. We talked about that earlier. But I just really like the Niners as a whole. They're a solid team. I think their front line is very solid, and they're good at containing on the edge. And what I mean by that, not many outside runs. We saw multiple times Monday night where Nick Chubb tried to break outside, and that was not available for him. They're very good at sealing the edge. The second level, I think the addition of Quan Alexander has been huge for this team. He's a fast linebacker. And one thing that always wins at the linebacker level is speed. If you have speed and you're able to turn your hips, the sky's the limit. And Quan Alexander offers that, and he's able to tackle. He's a solid tackler. I really like that. I think the secondary has been playing phenomenal. Richard Sherman has been a one hell of a yep. veteran presence for them on the back end.
Fred Warner. Can't forget Fred Warner.
Fred Warner, the commander of the defense.
Commander-in-chief.
Yeah, he is elite as a middle linebacker. I really like him. He's a solid tackler, a high-motor guy. I think that they've really, really built this defense up from the ground. John Lynch has done a phenomenal job with that defense. Now you go to the other side of the ball. The running back system works. Formulas to winning championships. Have a solid running game and a great defense. They're figuring it out on the great defensive part. On the other side of the football, the running back combination that they have with Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman is outstanding. They were phenomenal yeah. against the Cleveland front. We've seen Matt Breida and Mostert and Wilson Jr. The last few weeks. Mm-hmm. We saw all three of them have it going, the last couple of weeks on the field. So I definitely think that they're a solid team through and through. Jimmy G is sharp. He's finding the guys that they have. The only thing I think that they're lacking is a receiver.
If
they can get a solid receiver,
Their best receiver is their tight end, George Kittle.
Yeah, he's their best.
Which is not really an issue because everybody loves a solid tight end. Yep. But you need Marquise Goodwin to step up and Deebo Samuel to step up. Like you were saying, the running game is their key, their bread and butter. The fact that they can go in and have these interchangeable pieces. I remember first week, the two-back system. Well, the 49ers, they got four backs, and all of them are lights out. Jeff Wilson Jr., he's got the most TDs on the team, and he's only played two games. Being able to use him efficiently, especially on the goal line. Tevin Coleman just coming back. He's already got almost half the yards as Matt Breida, and he's only played two games. The fact that they could interchange, and Matt Breida has been doing his thing, it gives them load management, save their backs, and you know in each and every one of your backs that any one of them can take the rock and keep it moving.
Yep, most definitely. And then, of course, the next team on the list. I like this team. I know they're in the same division as the 49ers. I know that they're actually a pretty solid team. I don't have them above the Niners only because, they have a loss. But I'm talking about the Seahawks. We have Seahawks listed number six. And I think Russell Wilson right now is the MVP of football. One hell of a player. I think that he is elevating everyone on his team. He does not have the sharpest offensive line. He does not have the best receivers. But he is elevating everyone's play. I think having Chris Carson in the backfield helps a lot. Having somebody that you can depend on to, you know, hand the ball off to in your time of need. Somebody who's a great blocker. Chris Carson is pretty darn good blocking, pass blocking as a running back. He also can catch the ball in the backfield. And if you saw that, you know, one play in last week's game against the Rams, where the Rams finally got pressure in the backfield, and he started going one way, and he immediately shifted right back and started going back in the other direction and got a first down. A few more yards. Like, I mean, he's an efficient back, and I definitely think that he complements Russell Wilson, but I think that he's just been on fire. He's thrown, 12 touchdowns so far, no interceptions. You know, outside of that New Orleans game that, you know, had there been more time on the clock, we're probably talking a different story. They're probably still undefeated. And I know that, you know, it's not the Legion of Boom with this team. They don't have all the stars on defense, but they have a solid group of guys, and that's all you need. You have a solid leader in Bobby Wagner, one of the best linebackers, if not the best linebacker in football. You know, and you have tacklers, solid talent around him. You know, just picking up Jadeveon Clowney was huge for this defense. I really like them, and I think teams need to watch out. Everybody in the NFC needs to be on notice. Because the Seahawks are for real, and I think they're a legit team.
You're absolutely right, and I couldn't agree with you more, except for Chris Carson. Now, I do think that Chris Carson is a valuable back. I definitely do. But he's been very weary with me because of his fumble problem. He's got 2 fumbles on the season in 5 games. That's almost 50% of the 50% of the games that you played that you had a fumble. Now, with that going on, it's really just something to look at in the rearview mirror, but it's still something that we have to look at. You can't be the lead back and you're having this many fumbles. You have more turnovers than the whole team this whole season. So that's something we also got to look at. But in addition to the running game, Rashad Penny, I think, will be able to boost Chris Carson's confidence. That competition that they're going to have in the backfield, you know, switching out, I think is also going to make Chris Carson that much better. So I look forward to seeing him get better, but I do think that it is something to worry about, you know, in the running game. Also, everybody was talking a whole lot of mess this offseason when DK Metcalf, he's too big. He's not built for the NFL. He's too brolic. My man is solid. DK Metcalf is putting up numbers. He got, you know, 267 yards receiving, and he's got 2 TDs. He's averaging about 53 yards. 53 yards per game, which is not that great, but when Russell Wilson needs him, he can find him. He's a big body target, and I want to continue seeing him down the field and also making those plays like he has. He reminds me of Megatron as far as his body style, you know, big, wide, and he, you know, his area of coverage and where he can catch is also very, very large, in that you could throw the ball almost, you know, in a 5-meter radius, and he's going to be able to make a play on that. But with the offensive line playing the way that it is, Russell Wilson, you know, he does have to scramble and he does have to make quick adjustments. So it's harder for Russell Wilson to, you know, get the ball to him directly off, you know, first and second reads instead of scrambling on, you know, third and fourth reads and trying to make a play on that. But continue to watch DK Metcalf. I'm telling you, he is somebody to watch on Seattle. Same thing with Will Dissly. Very quiet. Even the last 2 years, Will Dissly has been slowly, slowly increasing his role on this team. He started off, you know, coming in as just a backup, and now he's become a solidified offensive piece. Even with a couple of ending arounds and, you know, reverse tosses, Will Dissly is a solid monster. And I think that these two pieces are keys to their offense, along with Chris Carson. But, of course, the number one piece is Russell Wilson. The moves he can make with his feet, the ability to stay alive in the pocket, and the number one key, the key component, turnovers. He got none, zero, zilch. And I hope that he continues to keep doing what he's doing. His eyes are, you know, down the field, but he's not looking to make any mistakes.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. And I think DK Metcalf is definitely going to keep growing. He's a rookie, you know, only 5 games in, so he's gonna get accustomed to what's going on out there, taking hits, you know, the speed of the game. So I definitely think that he's gonna be able to improve as the season goes on. Now to the not so high teams on the list, the Falcons. I think it's time for a change, man. Dan Quinn, I think his time is up. I think he reached his peak. I think the Super Bowl was the peak of the mountain, and they're not going back up. Too much talent being wasted. Devontae Freeman, 31.2 yards a game. 2 years ago, he was one of the top backs in the league. It's not because of talent. It's not because of injury. He's available, but he's not producing. I know they have injuries along the offensive line, but they've done nothing. Julio Jones, he has never averaged this low of reception yards, of receiving yards in his career.
70 yards a game. He's still catching a TD a game, but 70 yards per game, that's abysmal. I mean, this year, the top three receivers from last year aren't even the top three receivers this year. You know, no AB, Julio Jones is quiet. Odell Beckham is quiet. You really seeing a turnaround in the receivers, and it's a lot of rookies that are coming up in the top slots. A lot of rookies stepping up this year.
I think it's time for a change. I mean, it's not working anymore. I think there are a lot of teams that can use quarterbacks. You know, a lot of teams that want to contend that can use quarterbacks. It's maybe time to break it down and start all over. You have a lot of good key pieces on defense. I think you can still keep building around one of those three players between Matt Ryan, Devontae Freeman, or Julio Jones, but you need to make a change and you need to do it quick. You need to figure out which direction you want to go with. Don't waste these guys' years, man. I mean, you heard that you saw that video a few weeks ago that surfaced of Calvin Johnson on Bleacher Report, where Calvin said once he saw them starting to let people go, he knew it was a wrap. He knew that the team didn't want to win anymore. It's kind of to that point. It's give it up, you know. I think that the Falcons definitely need to get it together, man.
Mm-hmm. And you're absolutely right, but like I said, Calvin Ridley stepped up. But their top receiver is again the tight end. The tight ends this season are putting in work. Austin Hooper, 363 yards, like 34 receptions to your tight end, and your number one receiver has almost 20% less in only 26 receptions. Now, this is, I mean, it's fair to say that if you're winning games, it wouldn't even matter. But you're not getting it to your number one guys. The running game, let me say that one more time.
Yeah, it's bad.
Devontae Freeman, only 187 yards all year.
On the season.
That's low.
Through 5 games.
That is low. 37 yards per game. Looking at those numbers, your running game is abysmal. You have to look at the offensive line and ask yourself, where are we going wrong? Is it the tackle position? Is it the guard position? Where is it that we're going wrong? Devontae Freeman, he can run between the tackles. He can run inside. We saw it the last couple of years, especially when they went to the Super Bowl. Like, their running game that year was phenomenal. But I think the passing game is where they're having issues. And I think it's time for Matty Ice to step down. You still have these young guys, you know, you got Sanu, you got Jones, who still have, you know, a couple of years left in them. You still have these other young guys like Hooper and Calvin Ridley. So you don't want to waste those valuable years that these guys have in wasting and trying to prove that Matty Ice is still that guy. Get somebody in there young behind them, at least for next season, to groom and come in to be able to come in. You got some draft picks. Let's use them wisely. Get a young QB. Get you know, re-solidify the offensive line like the way that it should. And that's where they really need to start. They really need to start because defensively, they're letting up too many points, and it's just because, you know, they're watching the offense suffer. If you're watching your offense suffer and you're on the field more than half the game, you're not going to be able to win, and you're not going to be able to produce. So, like I said, they need to rebuild offensively, and then they'll be able to go from there.
Yep. Next up on the list is a team that I don't think it's surprising that they're not winning, but it is what you expect, the Cleveland Browns. I had picked them. I thought they were riding some momentum, winning their last two games, and then they pulled this dud in San Francisco. It's out there. People don't like Baker Mayfield. They don't like him. They don't like his attitude. They don't like how he carries himself. You can say a lot of things. You can say, you know, he is who he is. There's nothing you can, you know, can say about that. But the reality is, you got to give respect to get respect. You know, you're a young dude, man. This is people's livelihoods. You know, there's people coming to work to do this, man. If you carry yourself a certain way, you know, people probably don't like you. I think it's to a point now where it's starting to get to his team. So much talent. You have so many players around you that can produce at high levels, premium levels, but they're not producing. So something must be wrong. You know, we've been seeing all day tweets and rumors and pictures.
Tell them.
They may want to trade Odell Beckham. They may want to, you know, take some calls. Maybe they do.
I think it's a viable option.
Maybe Odell is like, oh, snap. This isn't really what I thought it was going to be when I came here. This is worse than the Giants. Maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut and stayed with the Giants. Maybe it's to that point because
it really wasn't his call.
I mean, it wasn't, but maybe it's to that point because of Baker Mayfield. Maybe because of the way he carries himself, it's hurting how the team performs. We don't know. We're just speculating. We're just talking. But there has to be some truth to this. It doesn't just come up out of nowhere. And I think that his performance has been subpar. Under 56% completion percentage. That's unacceptable for a starting quarterback.
A first rounder at that.
Number one overall pick.
Even though he has over, you know, 1,200 yards, but that's because he's just keep throwing and throwing. It doesn't matter. You got 8 interceptions on the season
in five games.
That's an average. That's almost an average of 2 interceptions per game. It doesn't work. It doesn't work.
It is quickly spiraling down. In Cleveland,
mm-hmm.
It is quickly,
and with the amount of weapons that you have in Cleveland, it's a matter of what is Baker seeing in the field.
What is he looking at? What is he eyeing when that ball snapped? Other than the offensive, you know, the offensive line, you know, collapsing, and Baker Mayfield is one of those guys that he can get out of the pocket, but we haven't seen him do it. He's been sitting there. He's been waiting until it's too late. He's been making bad throws. His timing is off. His rhythm is off. He doesn't have the sync with his guys. And for him to walk around like he was that guy and talk that talk, you got to get out there and show that you can walk that walk. You can't be out here as the leader of the team, you know, coming off, you know, as arrogant as he was, as, you know, with some of the comments. Like, you got to be able to back it up with your play too. There's nothing wrong with confidence. You need that. But at the same time, you can't be over boastful and not produce on the field. And to be honest, I don't think it's an OBJ problem. OBJ can't throw it to himself.
He cannot.
He can't. You know, and he's finding other guys, as you know, Ricky Seals, Jarvis Landry, Nick Chubb is doing his thing. But you're only finding these select few guys. You still have other pieces on the team, and they need to be found. If you can't find them, why are they even there? Odell Beckham has the least amount of yards in his whole tenure of the NFL. That's including the season when he had the season-ending injury.
This is my thing in the NFL. You don't win anything with a bunch of superstars. You don't win, and when you just stockpiling name brand guys like that, you don't win anything. They got all these high priced guys on defense. They got Olivier Vernon, Sheldon Richardson. They got they had
Olivier Vernon is kind of on the back burner for me. What I mean? He's another one.
You know, they got Kirksey, the middle linebacker. I mean, they got all these guys.
Yeah, good addition.
They got who's the nose tackle? They got a bunch of guys in there, but they're not producing even on offense. This is where you kind of get, man, and I hope that they could turn it around, and I would like to see Cleveland be meaningful. The Cleveland Browns are like the New York Knicks. No matter who they get, when they get them, how they get them, we will never be good. Do you know how hard it is for me to say that as a Knicks fan? We will never be good. I mean, I have hope right now because of Fizdale, but come on. I was a young pup last time we was good. We ain't good now.
Yeah. We were real young. We were real young. And looking at the Browns, they had a solid team last year. You added some more pieces and it just fell apart. You had a nice painting going on and you just threw water on it and now the paint's running. Your picture's not even what the picture is anymore. So they need to figure out their identity and who they are. You have solid pieces in almost every position. You have solid tight ends, solid receivers. Your running game is solid. Even your defense is solid, but you still can't produce. The offensive line is an issue. And we also got to look at Baker Mayfield. Now, Baker Mayfield, like I said, is underrated, but we're going to have to see how he's going to bounce back from all the stuff that's been going on in the media. Let's just see how he's going to play this season, continue to play, and continue to work. Stop talking. Start working.
Yeah, it's definitely that time. And he needs to understand, man, you ain't win nothing yet, man. So stop being so cocky. Just keep your head down and play football. But we're going to end that right here. It's a wrap. We're going to let you guys think about it. Head to our blog, coveragesesonb.home.blog. We got our power rankings up. Check us out, of course, on Spotify, Apple, Twitter, Instagram. See you guys next time.
See you guys later. Thanks for tuning in.